Genesis, and verse 21, or Genesis chapter 21, we'll read two or three verses there. Genesis chapter number 21, we'll begin in verse number 5, read down through verse number 8. It said, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Got anybody can match that tonight? And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. Yes. And of course, that's what the name Isaac means. Laughter. And no wonder. Everybody come in and look. This old man and old woman with a brand new baby had to chuckle. Yes. They said, ain't God something? Isn't the Lord wonderful? I like it when God does some things when all you can do is just shake your head and laugh a little bit and say, ain't that good? Ain't God good? And Sarah said, God hath made me laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. She said, they won't laugh at me. She said, they'll laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. You can be seated. When I came this way this week, I had a series of fancy sermons put together. But right in the middle of it, the Lord birthed some more thoughts. And I said, Lord, well, I'll just wait and work on this and I can preach it next week. But you ladies know what it's all about having babies, don't you? You don't wait when it comes time. You just got to have the baby. And so yesterday I felt this thing kicking. So last night I just tried to let it birth. I said, well, I think the baby's born. I'll be done. I tried to forget about it today, and Brother Ernie, Sister Marcy came by and he said, what have you been preaching on? I said, well, last night I preached on the birth. He said, tell me about it. Lord, for it's over with, another baby is born. So, I want you to ponder this text. And I'm thinking about the wonders of a birth. Of a baby. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Do we have any babies here tonight? So many months old. Is there any here? Would you raise your hand? I mean, the baby. No, not 3 years old and 2 years old. And you got any month old babies? I mean, 2 or 3 months. Would you stand up with that baby? Got that baby. Look at that baby. Now, let all these ladies know, and here's another one right here. No, stay up. Stand up. These ladies might want to know, did you get these at Toys R Us? Or does Kmart still sell them? How about Walmart? You didn't get none of those there? Well, isn't that amazing? Well, where'd you get that one at? Some of these folks would like to know. You don't have to go into everything, but would we all agree that only heaven can give those kind of babies? Those are not play toys that when you feel like being mama, then you play mama for 2 or 3 hours, and then you take it and stick it in the closet somewhere, and then you go to the beauty parlor, and you go out to eat, and go somewhere else, and run around, and then 2, 3 days later, said, you know, I think I'm going to be mama again. You go back, and you get the baby out, and you start playing mama again. But these are real, genuine births that have altered these ladies' lives forever. And I want to say to you, as I said last night, that all of true Christianity operates off births. And the true, genuine births that come from heaven, and they alter your life forever. Because they are God-given, and they are real, genuine births. Have you ever went to the rest home? The sad thing about the rest home is it's filled with older folks, elderly folks, that have come down to the end of the journey, and they've aged, and that's all you can say. There's no babies in that home or that rest home. They're just getting old is all you can say. And nothing's any sadder than to go into a church. Sometimes I'll go into churches that's all theirs. People 60 years and over. And they just sit around and got old. Don't hear no crying. Don't see no little feet pity-patting around. Sitting on mama's lap or nothing like that. Everything's just sort of got old. Aren't you glad for babies that bring the spark back into life? Aren't you glad for babies that'll make life fresh again? And even for us folks that are getting close to 60 and above, when them little grandbabies come along, it's just like we started all over again. And boy, we bring them back home with us and we play with them and all that. It's just like you get to do it all over again. And it just brings laughter, as Sarah said. It brings so much joy. And even though you've got your aches and pains because you know you ain't young like you used to be, it's just something about them youngins being around there that causes life to bounce off the wall. Because there's been some births that have taken place. Now I want to take that thought and let's center it on this fact of a heavenly birth. If there ever was a heavenly designed birth, it is of course the birth of Isaac. Now the God took two old people and waited until they got real old. Ripe old. Beyond the stage of biologically bearing any children into this world. And oops, one day, the old lady has a baby. Now, I don't care that she is 90 and he's 100. They're going to have to pick up some speed. Because them babies, they don't think about how old you are when they want some milk. They don't think about how old you are when they want to wrestle around and play. And all those demands that need to be taken care of. It don't make no difference if you're 90. When that baby wakes up at 2 in the morning, you still got to get up and feed the baby. That's what she had to do. And I'm sure she was glad. And I'm just sure that it brought so much light and so much life and there was so much joy and so much radiation. Somebody said, I'm going to tell you, old man Abraham seems like he's just a young man again. He runs around with Isaac like he's a whippersnapper. I never seen things like they are around the Abrahamic tribe over one birth. Aren't you glad for births? Amen. Aren't you glad for that day when as an old sinner, the Holy Ghost convicted your heart, and you knew when it happened, it was just as real as the first time you were born physically, there was a live birth that took place. Not only did you know it, but the church folks knew it and the folks that you come in contact with, that here was a new life. And God knows it had to be a divine life because it could have never come about by itself. As a matter of fact, there's an aspect of a miracle to it. And everybody's talking about it. Said, you hear about so-and-so? They got birthed. They got born, as Jesus would say, they got born again. Now, aren't you glad that there was a genuine Holy Ghost birth that took place in your heart and your life? But not only yours, aren't you glad, don't you rejoice that there was a genuine Holy Ghost birth that took place in your wife's heart and life? And in your children, you look for that, you long for that. Not only that you're so glad they've been born the first time, but who wants a child to be born the first time that is never born the second time? You want to see the evidence that the Holy Ghost has brooded over that little boy's heart, that little girl's heart, and there has a heavenly birth that has genuinely took place in that heart and in that life. What would we do tonight if there hadn't been some births? My goodness, if on the outskirts of Jerusalem, a little town called Bethlehem on one still night, gathered in there in that little old cubby hole, that little crevice in the rock, with those animals in there, that God had hovered over a little woman by the name of Mary. And on that night there was the birth of all births that truly brought joy and brought life and brought energy to every one of us. Aren't you glad there was a birth 2,000 years ago that we've not been able to get over, and we live off that birth? And thou shalt call His name Jesus. I'm glad for that birth, aren't you? I'm glad for that birth. But I'm going to tell you, there's not only that original birth, as we've emphasized, in salvation, but aren't you glad for those other times that God has ignited within your heart a birth of truth? That truth became more than just a scripture that you memorize, or black on white. But can't you remember times in the Word of God in which the Lord literally, just like a baby, was born in you, an eternal truth was born in you that you knew you would harbor within you and carry you with you the rest of your days? The wondrous truths of the Word of God being born within us. I'm glad that the thing that keeps this book alive for me is the births that constantly take place in my heart. And I can't wait to get in and study. I'm looking for another birth. And I love to go listen to somebody else preach, because I'm hoping I'll come away with more than a sermon. I'll come away with a baby. Huh? Now you know when you've gotten more than just a sermon, you'll go home with a baby. And when you're wanting to sleep, that baby's wanting to stay awake. And when you're laying still, that baby's a-tossing and turning. And you're trying to get awake, but I'm going to tell you, God has birthed something in your life that's going to change you out of His Word. A birth. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad? Think about it. That God gave you a man. That one day, He birthed within His heart, just like a baby, the call to preach. That God took His Word and arrested His heart, and it was like within His womb, there started moving something kind of strange. And He started looking a little different on the outside and kind of looking wide. I remember Esther's Grandpa, I'm talking about these spiritual births, these heavenly births that we need. The problem with the church in this hour is that we're living off of things that are dead and we're not seeing any real births in our experiences with God. We're just getting old in the faith. But God never intended on that. I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to encourage you to look for the life that God wants for you. Let Him birth within you what He wants to birth within you that's going to carry you. My wife's grandfather, an old mountain preacher, used to be the song leader in the church up there for years and years. This goes all the way back into the 20s and 30s, 1900. And he is an old logger and so on. And Esther's mama told us that it was almost like he'd went insane. Said he got to where he'd just stand around and he'd take his hand, and even to the day he died, he did this. He'd take his hand and rub it in an upward motion like that across his chest. And she said he had literally wore a hole in every shirt that he had right there as he had run his hand up and down. And they said you'd just stand there around him and all of a sudden he'd just take off a walking into the woods and looking upward. They said we thought he was going crazy. But the coming of it was he was wrestling with a baby on the inside. God was calling him to preach. And he tells the story. He told the story before he passed away to me. He said, as I said, one day on the porch, and he said the old mountain preacher came up, another preacher older than him, came up to the house. And he said to him, Will, the church has voted on having a meeting this week and said they want you to preach the meeting. Now, he hadn't said a word to anybody else about preaching. He said, I got up and went and preached that meeting. The baby was born and I never stopped preaching. And how many sinners across those mountains were born again because one day God birthed preaching in an old man there, a lumberjack, to preach the gospel for sinners to be saved. Aren't you glad this man over here had a birth? He wasn't mama called and daddy sent and educated somewhere and they talked him into some kind of ministry. Aren't you glad you don't have a preacher like that? Aren't you glad you got a man of God that'll get along with the Word of God and have sense enough to know that a real sermon is one that's birthed and he gets that baby in him sometime during the week and he'll come in here all swelled up? I've been here. Lord, that thing gets delivered just about over here on the seat before he ever gets up in the pulpit. You ever notice that? He's having the baby before he gets up there. But I'm going to tell you, before it's done, you're not scratching your head wondering what's happening. You know that God has told you something, and there's some real life that has come out of that truth that has been born in the heart of His servant. Aren't you glad for the births that take place that have made the difference in your life and how the Holy Ghost come and began to move in your heart and you felt that kicking and you felt that unusualness and the Holy Ghost began to speak to you and then all of a sudden this truth, this birthing took place that determined who you would be the rest of your days. A baby has been born. Now, it's a wonderful thing down at Abraham's house because now there is this baby by the name of Isaac. This baby has been born. But there's four or five things I want to say to you about how sad it would have been. And I'm emphasizing how sad it is in our day that people are satisfied with the forms and all of these other things, and they really don't care whether there's any life to it at all. But I'm going to tell you something. When I talk about my grand youngins, I don't want no Kmart thing. I want that real baby. Don't you? I want the real McCoy. Now, let me preach it this way. Let me give you this thought. I want to say that in Abraham's life, how I thank God for the baby. Thank God for Isaac. And I want you to see this in your life of thanking God for the times that God has come and quickened you in times of which you needed to hear His voice and has burst some things in you that you've never been able to get over, and they've made the difference as far as your life is concerned. Those babies. Now, the first thing that I would suggest to you is that if Isaac had not been born, if this baby had not been born to Abraham, then Abraham would have had to live and Abraham would have had to have put up with what I would call a plan B. See, what has been birthed, and I guess we can go ahead and title it, I'm getting this sermon as we go. I hope the baby, because somebody says it's a boy or a girl, I hope it's a baby. But God is birthing His plan in Abraham's life, is what's happening. Isaac is God's plan, not only for Abraham's life, but for eternity. It even affects us. The fact that that baby's born has an effect upon you and I, even tonight. And so God has a plan for him. But you know, before God's plan had been born in Abraham's life, Sarah had influenced Abraham to draw up his own plan. I call it plan B. They's wanting a religious baby, that's what they's wanting, a religious baby so bad that Sarah said, you got your woman Hagar down there out of Egypt, and why don't you take her and have a baby by her, and then maybe God will accept that baby and the promise will be with that baby. Well, they got to orchestrating that thing, and that's the way the flesh is. That's the way religion is. Boy, religion can draw up some real smooth plans. They look good. They seem good. Seems like they're going to work. Only thing about it is, there's no heaven in that plan. There's no God in that plan. There's no life in that plan. And there's no eternal work in that plan. I'm telling you, Ishmael's going nowhere. He's helping nobody. As a matter of fact, all he's done is cause hell and all his generations ever since he's been born. And the best you can do with your imitation babies and plan B is ruin your life and everybody else's. Abraham said, look, I got plan B. Well, there wasn't no Bible. I need something else. Said, look at here, I got plan B. Plan B. And Sarah looked at it and it kind of made her sick that she offered that plan. Yeah, ugly, ain't it? And then she got so upset, she said, I'm going to tell you, Abraham, it's all your fault. Yes, sir. I hadn't figured that one out. But said, aren't you going to have to do is you're going to have to get rid of her. And she can take that plan B with her, it's for all I care. And there was misery in the home because there was an Ishmael. And Abraham even got along with God and he said, God, please, I wanted a baby so bad. Won't you accept my plan? God said, no! I don't want your infidel plans that sidesteps faith and the gospel and justification. I told you I had a boy for you! I told you I had a child coming! Now get that thing out of the way! And let's get to my plan! More you can imagine all the turmoil and strife that your plan and my plan cause. Have you ever birthed a plan? You ever come up with a good idea? Hey honey, I was thinking. You know, since we work all week long and we don't hardly ever miss Sunday, It'd be all right just go down to the lake or up in the mountains. We'll stay a couple of weeks out there. It's just, you know, we'll just stay out on Wednesday nights. We'll be faithful Sunday morning and Sunday night. How's that plan sound to you, Sarah? I got a plan. I come up with a good idea, you know. Our money's kind of short with this problem we're having, and we ain't got our stimulus. I ain't found nobody has, and so we're just sort of waiting. And I tell you what, let's just prioritize this week, and we won't pay them next week, and then when we get the stimulus, we'll catch up. Huh? You ever done your plan? Oh, it's all right for Johnny to play ball on Wednesday night. We'll make sure he's in Sunday school. I mean, we'll just keep a good plan. Your plan's what's messing everything up. It's a man-made Abrahamic plan that came out of this world called Egypt. Honey, you need to junk it and wait on Isaac. You need an Isaac, honey, not an Ishmael. You need one God can smile on and God's pleased with. And you say, why's God pleased with it? Because He's the one that brought it to life. He's the one that birthed it. She went in there one day and said, Abraham, I'm sick. I didn't sleep good last night. Go get me some mustard and watermelon. Put some ketchup on it. And some hot dogs, mix it all in there. I'm craving it. He said, honey, what's wrong? She said, I don't know, but there's something moving in me. I said, something moving in you? What you talking about? I said, I don't know. It kicks me on this side and it kicks me on that side. I can't hardly roll over. Can't you tell I'm swelling? It's hot. Turn the fan on. Air conditioning. Abraham. You ever notice when them babies get deformed how irritated people get? They don't know where that's all coming from. God's trying to burst something. You let a man. That God saves, and He said, now I'm saved, and I tell you, now I'm working this job, and I got a good job, and we'll build this house and pay for it, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost starts working on the inside. Preach. Preach. And that old baby kicks during the night and says, preach. And he gets sick, and the wife said, what's wrong with you? How come you're so cantankerous? I don't know. He's afraid to tell you. And finally, one day just before that, and said, I know you're going to find out I'm swelling all over, but I'm going to have to preach. You're going to what? I'm going to have to preach. Born from within, hallelujah. There was a divine work in that old lady's womb that brought forth a life that was a miracle. It had to be a miracle. And I don't care nothing for these old Ishmaels that are not miracles of God, and you can explain them. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. If you can explain your baby, you ain't got a baby. You bought something at Walmart. Say, look here, my baby, Brother David, see that little red button there? You push that, and he'll say, hi, Papa. Yeah, you just push that little button right there. Got it all figured out. You got these little suits that go with them. You can even change your hairstyles right there. Huh? That ain't no baby. Some man made that. You can throw it in the closet when you get tired of it. They won't lock you up for it, mistreating dolls. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. You talk about a shock when my son took his wife to the doctor. She said, I think there's something wrong. Give me some watermelon and mustard with mayonnaise and put ketchup in it. Turn on open hot dogs. Hurry up, I'm hot. And she went to the doctor. Said, I think maybe I'm expecting. He said, well, come on in and we'll find out. come out and said, "You're more than expecting. You got two in there." Woo, that's a double miracle. And have you ever seen a youngin' you can explain? Push this button, he'll do that, and this button, he'll do that, and he does it. He'll always be a mystery to you. So it is with life. When God bursts something in you that He wants done in your life, something He wants to clean you up from and save you from, I'm going to tell you, it'll always be a miracle. I want something you can't explain. Hey, to me, church ain't seminar where we just come to sit down and learn something. I never have learned anything done me a whole lot of good spiritually. You listen to me. I've learned some things, made me proud and made me feel like I knowed something somebody else didn't know. But when I went out, I just felt the same, except my head was sort of confused. But I have went to the house of God and sat down, and the Holy Ghost through the man of God and the Word of God birthed something inside of me. And when I went out, I knew something had happened. And I keep saying it, I'd never be the same.
Amen.
Huh? Now some of you are still looking at me wall-eyed like you did last night, like you don't understand. That don't bother me, because I don't find nowhere in the New Testament Jesus ever preached anything that anybody understood. Until the Holy Ghost came and turned on the light. And I ain't expecting you to understand my 10-cent sermon. I'm just telling you what God birthed in me. I can't explain this baby myself. But I'm going to tell you, somewhere in the middle of the night, when you're wrestling and the Holy Ghost gets inside of you and starts a kicking, you understand a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you won't get none of that out of the Christian bookstore. See, Isaac. You got to be 100 years old. 90? Well, I don't know. That sounds a little impossible to me. I don't think I'll go over here and get me an Ishmael. I can understand that. All you got to do with an Ishmael is find you a woman down in Egypt. And get to trying to plan your own little baby. But I tell you, they stink. Now let me do the preaching here, brother. Oh, that's right. He's on the right track. That's why we're having. All these Ishmaels are being turned loose in our territory. They got no life. They haven't been birthed. Somebody said, "I think I'm going to do something." Go ahead and do it. You'll produce an Ishmael every time. You better wait on God to move on the inside. And He'll burst something, honey, that'll help you and help everybody else.
Yes. Yes.
And let me just tell you this. I know this is a little outdated, but you know, back in the 70s, they come out with all this bus movement, high-powered soul winning. All these Ishmaelites went across the country trying to influence every church to build up their Sunday school and get them numbers way up there. Because we can impress this religious world with all of our Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites. Now, I don't have anything again, a bus going picking somebody up if the Holy Ghost ignited it.
Amen.
But if you're just doing it because the church down the road did it, you're going to get an Ishmael. Huh? That's right. I don't have anything. I think you ought to witness. But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to witness out of the birth that's on the inside. Not some program you picked up as you had half the church. Let's all go soul winning.
Yeah.
You don't even know what what you're talking about. And I don't either. That's impossible to understand. That's talking about babies being born. And only God can do that. And that's why when I go across the country, I don't go under with no pressure with a bunch of people making some kind of decision. I'm just preaching and hoping a birth will take place. And it don't even have to happen when I'm there. Usually takes 9 months anyway. But I have preached meetings and gone back the next year. And some old fella come up a wiping tears and saying, "Preacher, you remember you was here last night and you preached what you preached?" He said, "Yeah, it was the sorriest sermon I ever preached, I think." He said, "The Lord saved me that day." Old John's a sitting in the back. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, John? 70-some years old. And God birthed him into the family. You say, "How you know?" Because there's been life in him for all these years. That's what I want. I don't want a bunch of Ishmaelites. Because the thing about them heavenly births in your life, when the Holy Ghost woos, and I told you last night, young people, you know what marriage ought to be? It ought to be a birth. You don't just say, "Oh, he's handsome and all." Yeah, believe me, that'll all wear off. Look at me.
That's
the truth, preacher. Woo! He said he's helping me out. I don't know if he is or not. And say, a young man, say, "Well, I like her, and I think she's the one." It doesn't matter what you think. Honey, when you're laying around, you're in somewhere down the night, and the good old Holy Ghost comes on you and gets a movement on the inside, then you don't know if it's right or not. But don't do it unless you don't know. But you can know. Yeah, there's something about having a baby. It takes all the guesswork out of it. You ever go up to a woman swelled up? She's wrestled night and night, and it's been hot, and she's been eating watermelon with ketchup in it and all that other stuff. You say, "You having a baby?" She said, "I don't know. I think so." Doctor said he was, whatever that means. If that's the way you're thinking, you probably just fat. That ain't no baby. I'm just being kind. Problem is you've been eating too much watermelon. Forgive me, ladies. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But what I want you to know, when the Holy Ghost, the heavenly Holy Ghost of God, that hovered over Mary and birthed that child into her, when he gets to working inside of you, you're going to know something different's happening. And you won't go the rest of your days a-guessing and wondering. "Well, I don't know. I thought I had a baby one time. I thought I did. Yeah, didn't I have one? I thought I did." No. You ladies know that. If you're thinking you had one, you didn't have one. Huh? Ain't that right, Freddie? Good to see you, buddy. Yeah. No, you listen. But honey, I'm going to tell you, our churches are full of people that are confused with their Ishmaels that have been born all over the place, in the house of God, out of the house of God, at home, and everything else through their own plan B. And they got no clue about a heavenly birth where God dictates it. And it's a miracle, and it brings joy and laughter. Remember when that wife had that first baby? Hallelujah! Come down, we just had a baby boy, a baby girl! And by the fifth one, you said, well, we just had another one. But I mean, that fifth one's just as real as that first one. There comes that burden, and there comes that birthing. And I'm here to tell you, when I'm talking about these divine births, it's kind of like Sarah's at 90 years old. Can you think about that? No C-sections. And none of them, what do you call it? None of that. I talk like I know a lot, don't I? But I'll tell you something. When it's all well over with, God wants you to know He's done something real in your life. And there won't be no guesswork about it. And I'll tell you something. Won't be no guesswork about it in your life. Everybody else will see it. Hmm? That's your boy over there, ain't it, Abraham? Is that your boy? You have to claim him. He looks just like you. Look at him, man. Oh, I'm amazed. How old you say you are? My goodness. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You ever see an old sinner lost and on the road to hell? He needed a birth so bad. The Holy Ghost got to working and convicting him. And the divine birth took place. Not only did he know it, everybody around knew that there was some life there that was going to live forever. Now let me close with this thought. I don't even know what kind of sermon this has been, but if you're confused, I can't help you. I don't know no more about it than you do. Other than I do know that God performs heavenly births. And we need His plan. And Isaac was his plan. But you know who Isaac takes us to, don't you? Ishmael won't take anywhere. Except them bunch of renegades that's over there now. And you know they tell us, I've seen this on TV several times, that Europe in, they say, 20 years will be taken over by the Muslims. Because they quit having babies. And the Muslims is having all the babies. That's why the church is being taken over by modernism and religion. We quit having babies. We just satisfied with being old and sitting around old. Ishmael won't take you nowhere, but he's called a wild man. That's where you're going with him. Just a wild religion, full of hate. I don't care if you call it Baptist or Methodist or the Presbyterian. It's all wild. It's all man-made. Ain't got no heavenly life to it. But I'm going to tell you where Isaac's going to take you. Isaac, if you follow him, eventually he's going to take you to the birth of all births, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that seed, Jesus, came through the loins of Isaac. See them real births in your life? The reason why God's a birthing them is because He's wanting to take other folks to the real birth, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm wondering tonight, if you're just sitting around scratching your head on what kind of plan you could draw up, what you could do to change things, if you'd like to look to the Lord and say, Lord, would You birth Your plan in me? Would You let Your will be accomplished in my life? I want a heavenly birth. A heavenly plan. Plan A. Did you get it or do I need to preach some more? How many of you think you got it? Raise your hand if you think you got it. Lord, we got half of them. Didn't get a thing. Baby. You know what baby means? Wah, wah, wah. I'm not talking about physical babies. I'm talking about that birthing of the Holy Ghost. Not only in salvation, but in sanctification, in the Scripture, in truth. Even in major decisions in your life on which way to go and who to marry and all of these other things. These are divine births. And you can live off those births. They'll carry you. They'll carry you. And you know who it was that carried Abraham into his old age? Isaac. You know who it was that carried Ruth into her old age? Obed. Those births will keep you alive and thriving even into your old days. Because they'll be gathered around your bed. And you'll be saying, did I ever tell you about my Isaac? My birth. Let's stand by our heads. Maybe your desire tonight to seek the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if America is spared, and I don't know she's going to be, that's up to God. There's going to have to be some births in the church. There's going to have to be some births. Because death is operating all around us. We need a Holy Ghost movement in our lives. It may be you'd like to seek His face for those fresh births that He's got for you.